Well, I'm back. I was here yesterday. I'll be here tomorrow night. You're in for a surprise. Anyway, yes, it's been a glorious 43 years that we've actually been there. We went down 2 weeks each winter for the 2 years prior to that to Mexico to help. First time we went down and helped Dale actually move into San Luis, and the next time we put together some things for their ministry, and the Lord talked to me and said, you're wasting your time trying to be a farmer, and so we got rid of everything. You blame it all on one person. It was a policeman in Saltillo. A guy that I didn't know got mad at his family, got a job in Mexico City to teach English. He couldn't speak a word of Spanish. He packed his five daughters, his wife, hooked onto a trailer with a Volkswagen Bug and headed to Mexico City from Michigan. His kids went to the same high school as I did, but they were in another little town and I didn't even know them. He gets down to San Luis and he comes up to the corner and it says Mexico City. And he tries to turn right, and a policeman says, no, you can't go that way. They had some big event going, and the streets closed off, and he forced him to take a left. So he makes a left, makes another left, makes another left, comes back to the same corner, and the same policeman says, no, that way. The third time around, the wife says, we might as well keep going straight. We're getting nowhere here. So they went until it runs out of pavement. They're on stones, and now they're in dirt in the middle of a farming area, and they got little irrigation ditches cut across the road to get the irrigation water over to the other side. He breaks his trailer hitch going over over that irrigation ditch in front of these big white buildings with red roofs, the trees all painted up white, and he said, oh, this Mexican's going to get me for everything I got. He went up and knocked on the door, and Susan's father, Dale West, said, praise the Lord, God sent you. Come on in. He stayed 6 months, got his life straightened around, got his family situation straightened around, went back to Michigan, and 2 years later, Dale says, let's go visit Ron Kuhn in Michigan. Dale ends up filling in as pastor for the little country church that was right close to our house. They put him in the parsonage that was just down the street from my house. Her sister, my sister, put us together, and so I blame the policeman. But it changed my life. I got in a family that have given themselves for the Lord's work. The three brothers, Dale, Joe, and Norman, and now their kids and their grandkids are serving the Lord as missionaries, as pastors, as faithful members. And their family was and my wife was my second greatest blessing. I accepted the Lord May the 5th, 1957. And, I have not been faithful every day, but I have been protected and blessed by the Lord. So that policeman put me in Mexico. I don't know if I ever get him. No, I spoke about this maybe a couple of years ago. It's a story that you all know. It's the Tower of Babel. And just a few months ago, I'm going through it again, and I missed the most important part of it. Yeah, that's something about the living Word of God, isn't it? You're in a different situation, you read the same passage that blessed you, and now it teaches you something else. And so I'd like to run through quickly, the things that I spoke on before, for some of you that wasn't. The first thing, let's read in Genesis 11. Genesis 11, let's read 1 through 4 to begin with. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. There's a lot of things they did wrong right there. And if you'd look with me, we'll be coming back to Genesis. If you look with me in Isaiah 56, verses 5. See if you pick up on what the Lord wants and what they did. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within mine walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servant, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, and my house shall be called the house of prayer for all the people. The first thing you see is that he wants us on a mountain. He wants us, and Caleb wanted that mountain, and there's the Mount Calvary that Jesus was crucified on. The mountain was an important part of all of the history of the Bible, and they chose to be in the plain. They chose to be down in the valley. They chose to be down where it's really easier. I was offered an opportunity to go to New Mexico and build some apartments, and they showed me a picture of it, and you're going to build apartments on the side of the mountain. There was no forklift going to get there. We was going to have to carry everything from the highway all the way in. I said, no thanks. I'll stay here in the flats of Sugar Land and build on the mud before I go climbing in the mountains. They choose a nice, easy place to start building. Another thing they did is they choose to use brick instead of stone. Now, you all know that God builds with stone, living stones. It's a whole lot easier with brick. Brick is the easiest ways to go. They're all the same. There's no differences. Stones are very difficult. Stones have protrusions and things that aren't convenient, and you have to chip them off. I don't suppose any of you here had anything that needed to be worked on by the Lord when you came to know him, but some of us might have. And he takes his hammer and his chisel, held by the pastor, held by the brother that loves you, and he takes off pieces that are not convenient.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he said he uses slime. They use slime for mortar. I like preaching this in Spanish, because, and I know we're English, but in Spanish it says betún, which is icing. They use something sweet and desirable. If you knew anything about mortar, cement, You might think, well, it dries. We pour out a concrete and it dries. Well, technically, no. It's a chemical reaction. That's why we say the concrete set. It had a chemical reaction, and you get cement, concrete on you, you need to wash it off because it's going to burn. God wants us to put us together, but he never lets one stone hit the other. It's encased in mortar. It's encased with his spirit. It's encased with the word of God. You're having trouble with a brother or sister? You don't have enough mortar between you. You're not spending enough time in prayer for that brother. You're not spending enough time making sure you're completely coated with the blessings of the Lord and the word of the Lord. And so you rub against each other. And I don't know if you've ever had any problems with a brother or sister, but that's what's happened. It was your fault to not have the mortar. Every stone needs to be encased in mortar. And that mortar burns, and it has to penetrate. That's what makes it strong. It burns in and penetrates into the brick or the stone, and what gives it strength. There's things happen in our lives that burn us, that we don't like. It's just making us so that we'll be firmer in the wall, so that we don't loosen, so we don't fall out. But what I missed was back in verse 1, it said they had the same language and the same speech. Isn't speech language? It's talking about the same goals. It's talking about the same vision. They didn't have to speak a language. God used the confounding of the language to separate them. But what it did is it destroyed their unity. So that the next time when they got back together after being scattered, it was to wage war. They got different ideas. They got different plans. They lost the common unity. They lost the bond that held them together. God said, the people is one. And what did that do for them? And it says, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they haven't imagined. Years ago, that verse hit me like a ton of bricks. I can't stand when somebody says it can't be done. I can't stand when they say that's impossible. What means impossible? If I've imagined it, God said I can do it. Some of you older ones remember Dick Tracy having a phone on his wrist. Huh? Oh, that's silly. Buck Rogers and out flying around in space. They imagined it. And because of some unity of some people, it wasn't one guy that developed the iPhone and the iWatch and whatever you have. It's a combination of people that were dedicated to it. And now you got somebody that says, I'm going to Mars, and he's working on it, and he's solving problems that nobody thought possible. With a whole team of engineers that are dedicated to something. Nothing will be restrained from them. And what's the factor? The unity. They weren't fighting each other over what can be done, how to do it. They were come together and they said, this is what can happen. I've been concentrating on the negatives, but there's a lot of positive here. Because that applies to the Christian life. I came down 45 years ago when the first time I came to this church when you're still in the brick building. I'm from Michigan, and a 1 hour drive, you take a lunch. And we're in Houston, and Dale says, let's go over to the meeting tonight. So we drove all the way from Houston to San Antonio and then drove back after that meeting. It was the night that you coming in from Germany. I remember Susan can tell you what all the ladies were wearing. That's pretty fresh in your mind. Made a big impression. But look what's happened in this place in the last 50 years.
Yep. Amen.
I'll tell you, there's been some squabbling. I've been here. There's been some problems. They talk about that first mission conference. I wasn't here for that, but I've heard the stories from reliable different sources, and it seemed to concur. At the end of that mission conference, how many? Seven?
Ten
people stood up, young people. We'll be missionaries. We'll go. Many of their parents stood up and said, we want no part of this.
Right.
They said, no way. You're not sending my child off to a foreign land. And what's more, you think I'm going to support this whole thing. And some left.
Yep. It's true.
And who was left? Those with the common vision.
Yep.
Those with the unity that God wants this done and we're going to do it. I'd hate to embarrass all these ones that were missionaries back then, but they were a bunch of dummies, I tell you. They were just young kids. There wasn't any church in this city that would have sent them out until they went to seminary, missionary school, language school, and you name it. The unity in this place was, God wants this done, let's get it done.
Yeah, amen.
And there's thousands of people upon thousands that have heard the word of God preached. And many have accepted the Lord.
Right.
More than half of those churches that are mentioned out on that tree were started by Mexican missionaries.
Yeah.
Mainly the children of the first ones we won to the Lord. It came obvious from the first day that we weren't winning these people to be missionaries. They were so messed up with all of their things in their life. They had financial problems. These two were married, but not to each other. They were married to other people. Now they're living together. They got children from... It was a mess. But their children were raised in the Lord.
Amen.
And they were the missionaries that were sent out. Two more just went out this last couple months. They're the grandchildren of the first ones we met, one to the Lord.
Amen.
I'm working with the sister of the first lady that accepted the Lord in Pachuca.
Glory.
The missionary that just went from Guadalajara to work with John, his wife is a sister of the first one that we won to the Lord. Her husband is the first one we won to the Lord. And he was just 17. He didn't have all the baggage that the older ones had. It's been a glorious time.
Amen.
And why was it possible? Because all things are possible if we're united. How do other places get their unity? Have a baseball team. But what happens when I flub and lose the championship? I'm not a popular person in the church. You hate me. There's bickering and fighting over because he lost the game for us and now we don't win the championship. No, there's three basic things called the fellowship of the gospel. The first is we meet to praise and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We lift up his name.
Amen.
And only his name.
Amen.
There's some people here that you owe some gratitude to. People that led you to the Lord. People that have sacrificed to help you find Jesus Christ. But they don't deserve your praise.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only one that we praise.
Yeah.
You start worshiping a man, you got a problem.
Right.
And that will destroy our unity. And this grand adventure that we've been on for 50 years will come to a screeching halt. Second thing. We meet to exhort, to edify one another.
Yeah. Amen.
1 Corinthians 14. Mainly verse 26. There are those of us that come on a regular basis that need to be edified.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's what the church is for. You're having a rough time? Get here.
Yeah. Amen.
Get here.
Yeah. Amen.
Because there's people that come here for the express purpose to edify you.
Yeah.
To help you. That's what the open meeting's all about.
Yeah.
That's why we must contend to have that meeting where everyone has more than the opportunity, they have the responsibility.
Yes.
To edify one another, to lift up. Our unity is built in the fact that our strength comes from God.
Amen.
Not eloquent preaching. There's enough proof that there's no eloquent preaching around. Oh, but there's a marvelous God.
Yes, there is. Amen.
And he will speak to the youngest child and they can stand up and God bless me with this and bless us.
Amen.
It's a marvelous thing when you see the open meeting work like it should.
Amen.
I was here in a meeting. We were praising the Lord one Thanksgiving meeting. What's the brother's name from the mission, from the rescue mission?
Oh.
Yeah, that guy. He's a big guitar player. We were playing guitar and he was playing the guitar and we were singing to midnight, literally. Broke a string, he kept playing and we were standing up and praising the Lord and giving a testimony and singing some more songs and he finally about midnight he broke the third string. He said, even I can't play a song with this, with just two strings. And we called the meeting. It was a glorious time.
Amen.
Where's Brian was here. He came down to Querétaro and we was having a church meeting and he brought down maybe some of you young people. It's been a lot of years ago, 25 years ago probably. And we had our meeting in the park and it just went crazy. People were fighting each other in the holy competition of who was going to bless the church next.
Yep.
And it just, boom, boom. Those that came down couldn't speak a word of Spanish. Brian, very little. But the whole bunch was sitting there staring at each other. Something special was happening.
Amen. Yeah.
I've been in some meetings like that. When we just were, exalted by the Lord Jesus Christ through the voice of each and every one that was there. It's a marvelous time.
Yep. Amen.
And the third thing, we're united by evangelism. Go ye to all the world.
Yep.
Amen. Having a goal that's beyond ourselves.
Amen.
Sadly to say, in many occasions through the years, we've had people come into the meeting not to praise the Lord, not to edify, much less to evangelize. They saw the membership of the church as their clients. They came to sell their wares. Oh, by the way, brother, do you know that I sell Tupperware? You know that I'm selling Amway? You, seriously, brother, sister, none of that here.
Amen.
We're not here to be made clients of anyone.
Right.
We're here to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to edify one another.
Amen.
And we're here to preach the gospel and evangelize.
Amen.
What does it say about the stranger? He's welcome. If he chooses our goals, the goals that God gave us, he's welcome. Thank you. I'm a Yankee. You received me. Praise God. It's not who we are or what we think we are. It's who we praise. It's who we serve. I don't know how it is now, but I remember it was 75% of the offerings that went out of this, came into this church, were going out of this church.
Amen.
I've known churches that don't give 2% and charge 5% to give the 2%. No. The commitment that I see each month on the list I receive.
Amen.
Is humbling,
yes, it is.
But it's so encouraging. We have a goal. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So then the question is, how do we obtain that unity? How do we ensure it? How do we maintain it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Ha ha ha.